OG Podcast Network presents.
Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mitty's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, the movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose. Even a superhero fight club, we usually lose. So pop in those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features. Neither listen by weekly or you can binge us. We gotta know, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Hello, welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti, and with me as always are my wonderful sidekick spouse, Mr. P. Features.
Hello, Internet.
And then there's Mauer. Beep you!
All right, I can sit back the rest of the show and just relax. See ya.
Beep! I'm trying to harmonize.
Beep you!
There we go.
That sounded good. Well, not
try.
Really.
In 3, 2, beep you!
I like it.
I think it's like a boy band.
Yeah.
We're doing the next Super Bowl halftime show. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome to the Wednesday show. If you're new around here, that's where we talk about the
new news.
Jesus.
Yes. All the newest comic related current events from around the comic sphere. I got it.
There's a lot of alliteration right there. You mastered it, sir.
Took a while, but I finally got that sentence down.
Until next week when it's like
current comic. If they're related to things, they're relatives.
We talk lots.
Anyway, yeah, we're going to be talking about the books, TV, movie news, all comic related. So why don't we do what we always do?
And start off with comics.
There you go. There you go, Feech.
Cool.
All right.
All right. Starting with comics.
Mauer. Take us on this journey.
Well.
Start, set sail, sir.
Imagine yourself on a ship.
Oh, this is going to be weird.
Sail away.
All right, stop. Now, we're just going to start with Brian Michael Bendis. We've had the announcement that his first story is going to be in Action Comics.
Wait. Who's Brian Michael Bendis and why should anybody care?
One of the most prolific Marvel writers that has ever graced the comic book industry.
Now let's pause right there. You said Marvel writers. What's he doing on DC?
Well, they're snatching up every good Marvel writer and saying mine.
Well, and mine? Brian Michael Bendis is a shocking one because he's been so valuable to keeping Marvel afloat for so long. So many things that he's responsible for kept them out of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
You know,
just the Ultimate Universe alone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And people were getting a little annoyed with Brian Michael Bendis towards the end, especially with things like Guardians of the Galaxy. That wasn't a very, people didn't really like that run very much. But they tend to put Brian Michael Bendis on either new books that really need characters being fleshed out because he's very good at that. Or they put him on big story events that they know are going to have a lot of draw and a lot of push. So things that Marvel really needs the best work, they tend to give Brian Michael Bendis.
Or things like characters or comics that it might be drying up a little bit for him to come and revitalize.
I mean, Miles Morales and Riri Williams, both Brian Michael Bendis babies, right?
Yes.
And they were both hashed out. They were both fleshed out by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yes.
So it's interesting because this news was very outside of what I would have expected. I was pretty sure Brian Michael Bendis would get like a nobody book, like a book that they just kind of wanted to bolster the popularity of to really bring into the forefront, especially with the new characters they just announced, like Damage and Sideways, those new age heroes, new age of DC heroes that they just did.
No, nah. We called it from day one, or at least on this side of the desk we did.
Well, he called it as well, right?
No.
No?
Okay. When we said it was going to be one of the big two, Menti laughed at us.
He kind of did. He said, what did he say? Now, which one's Clark?
Oh, I thought you meant Menti. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, not Menti.
He, from day one, said he hinted at writing a big one. He's getting Superman.
Ooh.
And it works well for him. His style of writing is going to take Superman and kind of, you know, modernize him a little bit more and keep him relevant. But he's also going to get, on top of the Action Comics 1000, the monthly Superman book, to the point where they said, hey, guys, stop.
Which is weird because the Superman has been so vitally important to the Rebirth story arc or storyline,
mm-hmm.
like the whole Rebirth, we'll say era of DC Comics.
Right.
Going, if we look at Superman from New 52, the end of New 52 on up to where it is now, that is probably that and Action Comics are the two most important in that series until DC Metal came out.
So
until Batman Metal
That shows how important Brian Michael Bendis is for you to stop the monthly Superman book so he has time to write a 6-issue arc.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird that he's just kind of in the middle of that. Like, I'd like to know how much prep time or how long did, because we knew he was coming in with the issue 1000 of Action Comics.
Right.
Right. We knew that was happening and he was writing his first story there, which is what he could have been referring to when he said, which one is Clark? I wonder how much time he actually knew he was going to be writing Superman 4.
Listen, every major comic writer has a Batman or Superman story that they've thought of in their head. Those characters are so vital to the comic industry. And they said you can go pretty much to anybody, and I guarantee you they'll have one of those stories just they'd like to see. So he could be just saying, here's a story I wanted to tell. How do I fit it in there?
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, look, it doesn't really matter what Bendis picks up. I'm going to probably read it just because of it's kind of a monumentous occasion. I mean, I don't want to go as far as saying this is Jack Kirby going to DC, but I can't think of a writer and or artist that big going over to DC since, like, you know, we'll say Image, you know, Jim Lee moving to Image, yeah. Jim Lee moving to DC. You know what I mean?
Jim Lee's the only other big name where when he changed locations, it was like, wow.
Well, Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
In the 90s, yeah. Todd McFarlane.
Early
was a,
90s.
He was a superstar. He was huge. It was McFarlane Spider-Man. It wasn't Spider-Man.
Right. So we've got that coming out. We'll see what else it is going to entail. If maybe they only have him spotlight on Heroes. Maybe he does a 6-issue run and then moves to Batman for 6 issues or kind of jumps around. He has enough clout where he can do whatever he wants.
I'm interested to see whether or not they let him just get his feet wet for a little while or if they just do whatever the next major event is.
Well, I think that's essentially what this six book arc is going to be. It's just going to be like a kind of start off into something bigger.
Maybe, maybe this is larger than we think. I mean, when they announced all these Justice League teams, nobody saw that coming.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the ramifications of DC Metal. By the way, that is the Batman book now, where all the evil Batman from around the multiverse. If you're new to DC Comics, especially right now,
and the evil Robins,
sure, the feral Robins,
yeah,
sure. And honestly, what we saw in the last Metal book is that there are evil versions of all the heroes.
Yes,
like the dark multiverse is full of evil versions all over the place. So that's what what was that? Kind of like, I don't want to call it a teaser, but the cliffhanger with Wonder Woman going up against all of those evil Justice League members.
Yeah.
So,
or as we refer to the dark multiverse here at Fireside, is the Mauerverse.
Well, none of us discussed that.
Sorry.
Mauer
just me.
You're just going to take the dark multiverse?
Sure, I guess.
The dark Mauerverse.
The dark Mauerverse.
So, okay. So instead of the slow force from now on, that's where he's going.
He's the Mauerverse.
He's the Mauerverse.
It's a beautiful thing.
You know, God save us all.
I'll stay around Earth too.
But anyway, nobody realized the end result like this book is giving us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody saw going into Dark Knight's Metal, especially when we saw the picture of Dark Knight's Metal for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, that kind of looks dumb.
Yeah. Well,
it was just him with the battle axe and the flames. It didn't look dumb, but it was like, okay,
That, like the first iterations of it we heard was the picture, and then there was the Megazord thing with the Justice League, and it was like, oh, this is pretty dumb.
This is a bad start. Because it just was felt lackluster for Zack Snyder's last Batman run. Or did I say Zack Snyder again? Scott Snyder.
Snyder.
I got to stop mixing those two up.
Yeah,
Scott
man.
Snyder.
Especially since they're both involved in similar things.
And they're both drastically different because one's incredible and one's
sucks.
I'll let you guys figure out who I'm talking about.
Say that stuff on Instagram.
Let's move on from there. And I think the next thing we need to talk about is still staying into DC news, but they're kind of branching out and trying to grab new readership by essentially splitting up the DC comic department into different age groups.
Yeah, so now they're launching two new imprints. You're going to have the DC Zoom, which is going to be for the middle grades, 8 to 12-year-olds, and DC Inc., which is going to focus on the young adults, you know, into high school. Now, here's the one big thing to notice about all of it. Every single book that we're about to kind of touch on right now is going to be written by a young adult author of actual either books or, you know, kind of graphic novels, but most of them are actual just fiction authors for this is, young readers.
It's similar to what Marvel was going to be doing, and well, maybe they still do, or maybe it ever came out. I don't think we ever followed up with this. Yeah, the Black, but wasn't this supposed to be a series? Wasn't there going to be a whole bunch of like preteen, books they were going to
do? Yeah, they did the opposite. So instead of bringing those authors into the comic world, they took some of theirs and put their comics into the young author world.
Yeah, and I don't remember ever following up on that. We should look into that and see if that went anywhere.
I think that idea was probably started with Champions.
No. This was like a legitimate book. This isn't a comic. This is
it's
like a novel.
Black Widow series, kind of like the Shadowhunters or Twilight or those coming out with a serialized young adult readership.
Maze Runner. I mean, those things were getting popular because of Hunger Games.
Well,
and I shouldn't even say Hunger Games because they go way beyond that. Those young adult books have been.
Yeah, when we were younger, there was a series I read called Last Vampire, and it was one of those young adults.
Twilight before Twilight.
Oh, please,
They re-released it when Twilight came out, and it.
And you were really excited. Were you in line with like fingerless gloves?
I grew my hair out again, put on my nail polish and eyeliner.
You put on glitter as well.
All right. If anybody has a picture from this day and age, I really need to see Maurer looking like this.
So on the DC Zoom imprint, we're going to have Meg Cabot, who wrote the Princess Diaries. She's going to be writing Black Canary Ignite. That's all we really know about it. Jean Yang, who is known for writing American-born Chinese and Boxers and Saints, is going to be writing Superman Smashes the Klan.
That's the most divisive one. And it's not even divisive, but it's like the most out of left field. Oh, it will be. I don't think it'll be divisive. I think people will accept Superman fighting the Klan.
The history is actually really cool. So this is the one book they're saying is going to be released in a serial before it's collected. But it's going to reference back the 1946 arc from the radio serial. Now, that radio serial, historians say, helped kind of defeat the Klan's recruitment of young people to join the Klan.
Really? Wanted to disappoint Superman, huh?
So, I mean, it's going back to that with today's day and age, revisiting that and kind of putting that out there could be used for a similar technique. So they are putting out this new young author with ties to classic Superman story arcs.
It's almost like if there's two groups that if you have your hero go after and you don't have to worry about anybody saying anything negative about it, it's Nazis or the Klan.
Yeah.
Those are like the quintessential real life to history villains of the world that everyone's like, oh, cool. Yeah, no. Yeah, take out the Klan. Cool. Yeah, take out the Nazis. Perfect.
So that is DC Zoom. Now, DC Inc., which is the one for the older kids, is going to kick off with Mariko Tamaki, who has written Supergirl Being Super, another novelization.
I like how you had, for a show where we butcher everybody's names, you're saying these names perfectly, right, and then yet fumbled on Supergirl.
So focused on Mariko that Supergirl.
Supergirl.
The artist on that is actually Steve Pugh, who did Animal Man and Preacher Saint of Killers.
Wow.
So it's a good artist that's going into that. They're going to be working on Harley Quinn's graphic novel, and then there's going to be a Mera graphic novel. Written.
Who's Mera?
That is the love interest of Aquaman, who is Amber Heard in the new movie.
They're going to give her a book?
Oh, you know what? Yes.
Yeah. And I'll get into the why in a moment.
Wow.
After set photos of Mera on Aquaman, you do whatever you want.
Oh, you look stoked.
That Mera book is going to be written by a best-selling author, Danielle Page, and she writes a series called Dorothy Must Die, which is a modern retelling of the Dorothy and the Oz books, but in a serial for the young adults.
That sounds interesting. I must find this Dorothy Must Die series.
Now, you'll notice the young adult imprint is all focusing on more female characters, and that is to take advantage of that market share. Most of the young adult readers are generally female. They're going to have a lot more coming to it as far as, you know, male superheroes.
Well, plus, if you look at let's take a young DC fan, right? We start with, like, my niece, for example, right now, hugely into DC superhero girls. I mean, mm-hmm. it's her favorite show of all shows. She is every character all the time. She literally carries all their action figures wherever she goes. When she gets into reading, this it's a perfect jump for her.
Yeah, but you think of when we got into reading, we just stayed with the comics.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they're trying to take some of those readers that leave them and keep them with the comics by putting this type of writing into it. The last book is going to be Batman Gotham High, written by Melissa De La Cruz, who wrote Witches on East End, which is another hugely popular book.
I think Marvel did something similar to this, but they just kept it within the Marvel universe. I think Features is pretty right when he said The Champions. Yeah. I think there were books that they were just intended, like Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah.
I think they tried to do one like Star Kid and Quasar or something like that. That book, I mean, bombed right away. So, yeah. But still, the thought process was there of let's make some adult books and let's make some kid books. I think separating them is a better idea, because remember when New 52 came out and there was that weird Batman Catwoman sex scene and Joker cutting his face off, and parents were just up in arms.
Well, that's exactly what DC said. They said books started off for the kids, then they've grown with that fan base and have become much more adult. So now they want to go back and have something for the kids to read.
That's a swinging pendulum to me.
Yeah.
Because that's not how they started. I mean, they started with horror books and romance novels, and then superheroes came in, and it wasn't really until Robin came around that kid readership really went through the roof, and then it became very kid-friendly. But then it got dark again when you killed Gwen Stacy, and then the Silver Age of comics began, and then it went to little kids again when we had Spider-Ham.
Silver Age was still for kids?
Not when they killed Gwen Stacy. I mean, people say that was the moment that innocence died in comics.
That was a turning point. That was a large turning point. I mean, and you can look at it this way, too. With the way that, like, the internet is set up, these kids have more access to things nowadays, so it's kind of hard to really keep them just at a kid-based formula.
Right.
You know? So
I think having kid characters and adult characters is the way to go.
It is. But you gotta have both. I don't think you can just pigeonhole the audience to one thing.
Well, the problem is kids want to, and my little brothers are prime examples of this. Kids want whatever's popular at the time. Like, right. Look at Deadpool.
Yeah.
Right? We want Deadpool to stay adult, but kids love Deadpool.
Yeah.
Right? So that's when, remember the Spider-Man animated cartoon tried to have Baby Huey. Which Spider-Man was that? Ultimate Spider-Man, when they tried to have Deadpool come in and just... It just felt so neutered.
I can't say the K word.
Which was very funny. Unalive them. That was a very funny scene, but still he felt very neutered.
Well, I think DC's doing one thing Marvel didn't. Instead of having their existing bullpen of writers try and go to this genre, if you will, they're getting people that are successful in that area and bringing them to their side.
It's a great idea.
That's a good idea.
It's a great idea.
So let's move on to TV.
Okay. So what's going on in TV?
Let's start off with Superman again.
Okay. Well, okay. So first thing we got to talk about is Krypton.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
And we talked about it.
Okay.
There it goes.
Okay.
It's gone.
Okay. Just like that.
Boom.
Krypton.
I see what you did there.
Earth One. Krypton doesn't look that bad.
Oh.
Now, it's just a trailer.
Can we rise up and throw him off?
It
the
doesn't look that bad. It could be awful, but it doesn't look that bad.
I just want to point out, you did the same thing with Gotham.
Sure. And it could still be true with that.
And I believe we both told you once before not to trust the trailers.
It's okay. Look, you can't deny if something looks good.
Right, what looks good about it?
The trailer itself, I loved the idea of saying, you know, I guess he's from Earth going into Krypton saying, you know, eventually this is going to be the most valuable person to your planet. And getting that almost behind the scenes look of what Krypton was. I kind of liked in Man of Steel the Krypton world that they showed us for a short period of time. Like, the world building that they did in the beginning of that movie was pretty good. I enjoyed that. So I'm okay with making that more, but the downside is it's like watching the Titanic. I already know where this is going to go, so it's hard to invest in anything.
It's Titanic meets Star Wars Episode One.
Maybe
a bunch of politics and then the world blowing up.
Well, we don't really know that. You don't know what the story really is.
We kind of do know that.
No, we don't. We know that from what we've seen in, prior to this.
Yeah.
But we don't know what this show is about.
Oh. Wait.
You cannot tell me the plot line of this show.
Kaboom.
We know that's the end. But the reason why we're bringing this up is they did just announce that there's going to be a show called Metropolis.
Wait, what?
So why? Would not surprise me if Krypton is before Metropolis.
There's a big gap in between that they're just skipping over.
Which is Smallville. I mean, if you look at the string of what we've got.
So how did they get to Lucifer?
Krypton,
from that?
Smallville, Metropolis. Right?
Lucifer.
Well, no.
No?
No. I don't know how you're... What? I'm a loss. Is anyone else getting this? Because if not, one. And
Superman's on
Earth
Lucifer.
Earth 2!
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Welcome home, buddy.
Superman's on Lucifer now.
Superman? Oh, from Smallville?
Yeah. Yeah. So what's Metropolis going to be about?
I don't know. Metropolis. Like Gotham.
So what it looks like is it's Lois Lane and Lex Luthor investigating like superpower.
Whoa.
It's the same thing that Gotham is. It's Batman without Batman.
Lex Luthor isn't always a villain. Yes.
Sure.
No, he right now he's a good guy.
Well, even that, when he was a perceived bad guy in the old comics, it was more of he was an industrialist with some shady ties. He was like the Frank Sinatra of bad guys.
Well, and he from time to time has that same kind of scenario where he's Dr. Doomish. Well,
yes.
Where what he believes is right. He believes he's trying to make the world a better place, but in his rule. Right?
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Doom is a bit more on the extreme side, but at the end of the day, he doesn't feel that he is a villain.
I think the only reason we look at Lex as a villain most times is because he has this extreme hatred for Superman.
What? He does villainous things.
To Superman.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So this is before he has absolute power. So we should be able to see a good portion
it's
of
like,
Lex Luthor.
Like, look at Gotham, right? Bullock in Gotham was good in the beginning. I don't watch it anymore, so I can't say. But Bullock's character in Gotham, I really enjoyed him. Mm-hmm. I thought the actor was great.
I love that actor.
I thought the character was good, and he's not that horrible person right away.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see. Well, I mean, I'm never going to watch it, no. But at some point, he's going to become terrible, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing could happen with Lex Luthor. It could be the downfall of Lex. I mean, the rise and downfall of Lex.
See, now you have me interested in this stupid show.
But who knows? If Krypton is an introduction... This could be the, because we know Krypton has an end date. I mean, you can't get to season 12 on Krypton, you know?
You technically shouldn't get to season 2.
Well, you don't know that.
You're right.
They could be hundreds of years before.
All I know is that it seems you learn a lot more about the El family and you learn a lot more about Zod's family.
Well, I think a more interesting thing, I think I mentioned this before, is that if they could use... Krypton to introduce us to characters who will be like very poignant in Superman's future, like Brainiac.
All right, let's not
wait. The show is going to be coming out in 2019. It's been ordered for 13 episodes on the exclusive DC streaming service.
And then boom.
Oh wow! So it's not sci-fi anymore. Oh no, this is Metropolis. That'd be real interesting because then they're probably not connected.
Yeah, so it's going to start filming the end of this year, middle of this year.
I mean, I'm not too excited about that. I'm honestly more excited for Krypton because the trailer again didn't look bad. But let's move on. Let's move on to some other big things. And there's some things that we can just mention. Like, for example, Carl might not be dead in Walking Dead. Like,
Carl?
We can't say much else about that. The trailers came out. They look okay. And now there's rumor that he might not be dead. But that's hard for me to believe because, you know, the whole Chandler Riggs' dad going on Facebook, flipping out about they fired my son. And Chandler Riggs saying I had nothing to do with this and I really am off the show, and him looking into career endeavors outside of this show.
Wow.
So if it truly is a lie, well done.
Is anybody else casting whiny teenagers?
He's not that whiny, bro. Not that whiny. But let's move on to more important news, which is Ninja Turtles.
He's seeing some stuff.
Let's start some whining now.
Yeah, this is going to be true whining.
So Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Doesn't look that great.
Or The Fall.
So yeah, we got our first look at Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the new show coming on Nickelodeon that ended a great show to now look like giving us a pretty craptastic show.
And we got some background information on why the look of it's so craptastic.
Well, okay, so right off the bat, we have the turtles that are all pretty different. They all look different. Each one of them has a different appeal to them. They look very Michael Bay Ninja Turtle-y. Or the next mutation Ninja Turtle E, if we're going way back into live action 90s awfulness.
And that makes sense because they gave each turtle a different species of turtle.
Which is kind of okay. All right.
That's
a small change. Maybe the lab that they were being experimented on wanted to see what it would do to different type of turtles.
But then how does that make them brothers?
Because don't have to be blood to be brothers.
You should know that. Features. Brother.
That's different.
Oh,
okay.
Sure. Now I feel hurt.
You know what? Moving on. But so Raph is going to be a snapping turtle. Leo a red-eared slider.
Nope. Couldn't. That sounds like a small little burger to me.
Yeah.
Donnie is a soft-shell turtle, which actually makes sense for Donnie having to use his brain.
That sounds awful.
And then Mikey's a box turtle, which is similar to what they originally.
Yeah, they were all box turtles.
But like, Raph has two police batons. They kind of look like
Tomfus.
Sure. Michelangelo has a yo-yo.
Kasari Fundu.
A yo-yo. It's a yo-yo.
It's a Kasari
Fundu. It's a yo-yo with a ninja star on the
it's
outside.
It's a Kasari Fundu.
Leo only has one sword instead of two,
which sucks.
And then Donnie has like a staff.
Well,
mace.
He has Michael Bay's tech bow.
Well, and it doesn't look like a tech bow. It looks like an old like Knights of the Round Table kind of staff.
A spear?
Lance. No, it looks like a lance.
Okay.
Yeah, it's supposedly it's technology enhanced.
All I know is I'm not into any of it. So can we move on to the Super Bowl? Can we please? Can we please talk? Can we talk about the Super Bowl?
I want to talk turtles.
I do too.
Listen, John Cena is going to be in
it. We're running out of time.
John Cena!
And there are a couple things that we definitely need to talk about.
Okay. All right. Let's
like the Super Bowl trailers. The Super Bowl trailers was the biggest thing to happen recently, and I think it's only necessary that we talk about at least two of them.
Aren't the Super Bowl commercials always the biggest thing to happen?
No, because we have the damn Olympics this year.
And the Eagles.
And the Olympics took half of the damn Super Bowl commercials.
Okay, the Eagles also won.
I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Right?
Yes.
The Eagles won.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
And they redeemed the number.
Editing that out.
They redeemed the number 52 for us.
Yeah. Go figure.
New 52 means something drastically different now.
If you're a Philly sports fan.
And we're a Philly show, so that's that. Maurer, are you serious? Mr. Anything Will Smith related, you're all through the roof?
Don't edit me, bro.
Are you saying you're not a Philly fan?
I'm not an Eagles fan.
He's a Dolphins fan.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Like weird color schemes throughout this house. What am I talking
amazing.
About?
Amazing.
What am I talking about? Anyway, the game was a great game, but we don't want to focus on that. Let's talk about first the Avengers Infinity War trailer.
So it was good.
It was
good.
Great.
It was great.
It's great. It was short, but it was great. It showed us a lot of cool things and things that we need to talk about. One, did Tony lose his hand?
I'm going to say no.
If we look at that trailer,
it looks
when
like it.
Tony's putting his glasses on. We see the bleeding edge armor.
Yes.
The bleeding edge armor, for those unaware, is the armor that like molds on him.
Yeah. So in the comics, it formed completely out of nanites, and they come out and form anything as well as weapons. Wings, whatever he might need, which could be explained how he gets into space. The cool thing about this, rather than coming from his pores, it appears it's coming from an arc reactor that's on his chest. So think of the suitcase armor from Iron Man 2, but in a much cooler fashion.
Yeah, right in the
much compact fashion.
Because it was also a weird question, which is in Iron Man 3 when we know he gets rid of the
arc reactor.
Right.
Yeah.
So seeing how they use the arc reactor now is awesome. Like, that's a really cool way to bring that back into the fold.
Yeah, it's a triangle.
A big fan of that. We also know that it's called the Iron Spider.
Yes.
Costume, that's what Spidey has. We see a little bit more of him in it when he's climbing whatever that weird circular thing is over New York.
Mm-hmm.
Other big thing is we see Wakandan shields.
Yes.
Right? With those weird gauntlets that Cap has that are awesome.
I wonder if they're made out of vibranium.
The people are pissed.
Why?
People are pissed about that. They do not like the Wakandan shield. I think it's pretty dope.
Did they forget he kind of tossed his old shield away at the end of Civil War?
And then Black Panther.
I want to know why they didn't just make him another Captain America shield since it was made from vibranium. Because
they might
not
have had the chance to. We haven't seen this movie. And all we know is that there might be an attack coming and they're like, get this guy a shield.
There's some dude
over
there.
We got about 20 minutes.
Evacuate the city.
Hey, you're not going to be using those shields. We're giving them to Captain
America.
And
that's kind of cool if they really are the gauntlets that just kind of open up and become shields. It'll be very interesting to see. Kind of reminiscent to Hydra Cap.
Yeah.
When he first came around, he had the shield that separated.
Yeah.
So that could be kind of cool.
And then we also got to, put into account that he might not be Captain America in this film. He might be Nomad.
I mean,
he is Nomad.
Not confirmed. That's not confirmed. That was Stan Lee and Chris Evans, I believe. Chris Evans?
Yeah, they hinted at that.
Yeah, they hinted at it. But nothing's confirmed.
We did get a good look at his costume and the lack there of a star on it.
This is rumor, but if you look behind that one quick scene where we see him in his not Captain America costume, potentially Captain Marvel behind him. Now, again, this is rumor because it could be the Iron Spider. But if that's the case, be really excited to see Captain Marvel show up in this movie.
Now, that would be 11 seconds into that trailer.
Look at you. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, it could be Spider-Man. It could be a combination of Doctor Strange and somebody
else.
It
looks like metal. I don't think it's Doctor Strange. If it is anything, it's Spider-Man.
I went over that and looked at it. I don't think it's Spider-Man. You can almost see the Captain Marvel emblem as a turning point.
Captain Marvel's coming out soon, and it would make sense to put her in this movie just like they did Black Panther.
And so, she might not yet be Captain Marvel.
Well, let's talk about something right there and how they're going to fix the timeline of her movie's taking place in the 80s, and she's not really going to age much in the 20-plus years in between her first appearance in the MCU and now.
She could be in space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and which would... You know,
time flows different.
The farther away from you are from, never mind. We're not going to go into that.
Yeah.
Farther you are away from the gravitational pull of the sun, the slower you would age. But that's a possibility, sure. But I'm just thinking that the grand scheme of things is to introduce characters from other that will have their own franchises and other stories. It would make sense,
yeah,
to bring her into this and then tell kind of an origin story when her movie comes out.
So, what do you think of the bleeding edge armor?
I think it looked great. When it kind of crawling up his neck like that, and we seeing him and Doctor Strange for the first time together.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
That was
very
dope.
Exciting. In general, I'm stoked for the whole thing. I mean, you can't say enough good things about it. How funny would it be if this movie sucked? How funny
that
would it be
hilarious.
If, like, we've been waiting for this for, like, almost a decade.
And it turns into Suicide
it's just
Squad?
Awful.
If it turned into the Suicide Squad, okay. I would be irate.
I don't want anyone to think that I feel it's going to be. And
you heard it here first. Mickey thinks it's going to suck.
As a Marvel fan, even if it sucks, I might say it's great. No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But it would be very funny if that movie was terrible.
So another thing that we got was the first close look at the Black Order in a poster that was released.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They look good.
Ebony Maw looks great. Ebony Maw being... So they're the children of Thanos in the movie, but they're really just kind of his henchmen.
Yeah.
And Ebony Maw is like
he's the telepath, right?
Doctor Doom, Doctor Strange-ish kind of mystical arts.
Okay.
Character, you know, kind of the
very
magician.
Close to like the feel of the comic.
And then you have Proxima Midnight. Who she kind of looked a little funny. I kind of like her more comic-y look when like the bigger headpiece.
Yeah.
Like you figure you give Hela in Thor Ragnarok the giant headpiece, and you tone it down for Proxima Midnight.
I thought they would do that. But
they didn't. They toned it down. She is Corvus Glaive's wife. Mm. I guess would be sister in this since they're all kids.
Oh.
It's kind of weird. But she is. She's
now
got something.
Well, doesn't have to be his sister. Could still be his wife. Remember, he kind of takes his children in this. So like when you look at Gamora,
Nebula
and Gamora.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
He made them his children.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of weird to still make two people your kids and then they're married already.
You have in-law kids. Like,
well, I never thought about that. Thanos is a kidnapper.
and a two. Earth two!
We're running low on time, man. We don't have time for your Earth twos. Anyway.
Before we go to the last news, I'm going to slide in some bad news in between it.
Oh, no.
The Disney deal that we're waiting on might not happen.
Yeah.
Why?
Break it down as quick, as simple as possible. AT&T is looking to buy Time Warner. The original thought that wasn't going to go through, so that's why Fox is like, we're going to sell to Disney. That's going to have less hoops to jump through and a better chance of going through. However, some things that have been changing in the government looks like they might allow AT&T to purchase Time Warner. If that happens, Comcast is already ready with an offer that's going to smash Disney's offer, and Disney doesn't have the funds to counter it.
I need Comcast to back up. I need them back all the way back.
Back all the way up?
No, they need back all the way back.
Okay. They're going to catch those hands?
Definitely.
Now, they are a Philly-based company, so wouldn't we be a little happy?
Nope.
Don't care.
Nope.
Me and Comcast already got beef.
Nope. You can any state out there wants Comcast, you can have them.
Yep.
Nope.
If that happens, at least, then Disney could buy the Sony content that they're looking to sell.
It's not enough. Nope. I need them to get the Fox content.
Yep. I want Fox. I want them to own Fox.
Yeah.
Sony's at least smart. They go, you know what? We'll let somebody else do this.
Yeah.
Fox, on the other hand, will just tank it continually.
Yeah. And they don't care. That's why I need
Comcast. And they will keep making movies that are terrible to keep the right.
Yeah.
And they're stingy and they're spiteful with their juggernaut moving to Quicksilver, even though it was the best part of those movies. Mm-hmm. But still, spiteful.
And conniving.
They're the reason why we all Inhumans everywhere, and nobody's happy about that, except for the TV show wasn't that terrible, but... Anyway,
I can't.
It's not that bad.
It really wasn't that bad. But still, I don't want the Inhumans rammed down my throat.
Calm. What do you want to end on? You can pick the last
solo. Solo trailer.
The Red Cup trailer.
It was 45 seconds long and it was awesome. I didn't get a lot from it, but
listen,
it looks beautiful.
Looks pretty.
Looks great.
Have no idea what the acting is going to be like.
Nope. I have no idea
what
the plot
is. A lot of stoic standing.
But I also kind of like, you get like that clean look of the Millennium Falcon when they kind of give that weird little tour through it.
Mm.
And then everything's like white and the lights are up. And I'm like, wow, this is the weirdest looking Falcon. I'm so used to it being dingy and dirty, the hunk of junk, that when you see it all polished and clean, you're like, that doesn't look like
this
the Falcon.
This is a young Solo.
And the Millennium Falcon's complete in this. So you know that gap in the front where it looks kind of like a fork?
Yeah.
In this film, that's filled.
What? I did not know that.
So you have that, and in the new posters they released for the four main characters, which we'll put up on the page, it shows a good shot of the Falcon in its completed glory.
Yeah, I'm happy to see. Like, it makes sense now why when people were saying we saw early footage and it looks great.
Yeah, because
it definitely looked great. I don't know anything else about it, but it looks great.
The only thing people are making fun of is Han Solo's hair. He kind of looks like a boy bander.
Well, even Lando looks a little funky with his hair. It almost looks like his facial hair is kind of eating his face. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's so prominent in the areas that it looks like it's slowly, like almost like a terraforming. Like, it's creating a new landscape out of his. Never mind. I'm going too far with this.
Yeah. Oh, that note?
No. Wait. Everybody else gets an Earth too, and I say it's terraforming his face, and you're nobody.
You 3, 2, Earth 2. On that note, do that thing.
I deserved that, and he did.
He wanted it.
I said terraforming. Like, it definitely deserved it. Anyway, you can find the show at welcometofireside.com and at welcometofireside anywhere online, depending on where you look. We appreciate all the support that we've been giving, all the comments, the likes. That jazz goes a long way. Please share, subscribe. Do us that favor. Once again, I'm Menti.
I'm Features.
I'm Mr. Mauer. Don't forget to check us out on the OG Podcast Network. And we're going to be continuing this conversation on Twitter.
There you go. On Twitter. Deuces.
Deuces.
Damn it, I was reaching for the button. Forgot to say deuces.
Deuces.